Okay, we're now going to continue our conversation about the management commentary. I give the floor to Matt, Julia.
Hans and Matt. Thank you, Hans. So I will start with a very brief introduction on where we are and then pass the floor to Matt. So in November, the board decided to add to its standard setting agenda a project to update management commentary practice statement. At that meeting, the board also decided that its interest in the area of so-called wider corporate reporting is limited to provision of other financial information that is needed to meet the information needs of users as defined in the conceptual framework. In March this year, on the 9th of March, the board announced a formation of a consultative group on the management commentary project. The aim of the group will be to provide the board with access to practical experience and expertise in implementing, developing, and using management commentary regimes, and also to advise the board as the board develops proposals to update the management commentary. The purpose of this meeting, the call for nominations will be open until 20th of April. The purpose of this meeting is to provide the board with an update on the start thinking on how to approach updating management commentary. There are no questions for the board, but we would welcome any suggestions or feedback that you have at this stage. And with that, I pass it over to Matt.
Thank you, Julia. So in your board pack, you have an appendix for this session, which is a short slide pack. So I'm going to make some references to that as we go through. But as Julia said, the aim of this session is to provide some background to you in terms of where we think the project could go and to take your feedback and thoughts on that. So I'll start just by reiterating what Julia said about the scope of the board's interest that was determined back in November. And if you're following on the slides, this is slide four. So our focus from the November meeting has been on information that complements the financial statements, is required to understand the potential future development of the financial statements. That does include non-financial information, but it is non-financial information with that specific purpose. So areas that we don't anticipate going into would be public policy reporting, so to meet a particular social objective, or reporting to other groups of stakeholders. So that we would consider would be the preserve of bodies such as the GRI. But within the scope of other financial reporting, where we are, there are other bodies such as the Carbon Disclosure Standards Board, which is obviously subject matter specific, which we are not. And the Sustainability Accounting Standards Board, which is takes more of a prescriptive approach to disclosure than the principles-based management commentary practice statement. So that's just an overview of what we anticipate that we are and we are not doing. I'll also just on slide five just remind you of the range of information that potentially sits within a management commentary. So this is pulling in information from multiple sources to support a user's understanding of the long-term development of financial statements. So that could include information from the historical financials. It could include other subject matter focused quantitative information that might be carbon related, it might be customer related, it might be to do with the, for example, staff retention. So the information that is relevant to the circumstances of the business. It includes the description of the business model and the business strategy. It could potentially include management information and external market data, such as market share. And it would be through the eyes of management. At least that is the approach in the current management commentary, and subject to the board's views, we wouldn't necessarily anticipate that changing. So quite a broad set of information there. What does that mean in practice for the management commentary? When we came to you in November, we said that we felt there was quite an extensive range of innovations and research into this area. So there's a lot that we can build on for the management commentary practice statement. That research and that practice fits within the principles-based approach of the original practice statement. So some of the key areas being highlighted from the research were that where users' needs still weren't being met were around inconsistent reporting of business models, short-term strategic focus, for example, focus on operational initiatives rather than strategically important initiatives within the business, and continuing challenges in identifying the relevant information, the relevant non-financial information that would support a user's understanding of those issues. If you look at the innovations that have taken place, and these are drawn from a number of sources, both from the work of national standard setters and regulators, and also from global bodies. This is the slide, bottom page 7. Some of the key concepts that could be relevant to the update would be value creation, so putting a longer-term emphasis on the prospects of the business. Using the business model and strategy as a basis for determining the information that belongs in the report. So that's the alternative approach to a more prescriptive-based approach. Using the concept of linkage, or in integrated reporting terms, connectivity, to ensure that what is said through the report builds management's story of how the business has progressed. So, for example, if the business identifies it is strategically important to it that it sells its blue products to its red product customers, then the logic of linkage would say that is something the business should be reporting on, so that's a potential performance measure for the management commentary. There's been a lot of focus on key resources and intangibles that the business depends on for its long-term success. So one of the things we can look at is providing a more rigorous basis for companies in the management commentary to set out what those resources and intangible factors are, and then whether or not they appear in the financial statements now, to report on their progress in managing the health of those resources. And, of course, we can also bring to bear the application of materiality in the context, specific context of the management commentary requirements, because that seems to have been a particular challenge for preparers in practice. So that's a principles-based view of the key concepts that we could be looking at during the course of the project. If I take you over leaf to page 8 of the pack, you'll get a more content-focused view of the project. I just draw your attention to the note at the bottom, which I think really sort of summarises the operation of those principles. So, effectively, when you put those principles together across the content elements, you have a management commentary that is providing insight into the company's strategy for creating shareholder value over time, its progress in implementing it, and the potential impact on future financial performance not yet captured by the financial statements. And that, when we presented the research in November, that was sort of broadly the theme that was coming out from investor organisations in terms of their needs from narrative reporting. On slide 8, I've drawn out the four main areas we see in terms of the content development streams. These are all features of the existing practice statement, but areas where we might give additional focus to. I'll start by covering current year financial analysis because it has immediate overlap potentially with the work the board's doing on the primary financial statements. It would potentially include non-GAAP measures or management performance measures, so there is overlap there. There may be some areas that it's felt are better dealt with within the scope of the practice statement and the management commentary, but what we as a project will do is monitor the decisions around the primary financial statements and work what we say in the practice statement around that. That current year financial analysis potentially is broader, though. It might potentially include areas such as the presentation of earnings bridges, which is now becoming increasingly common, so the narrative explanation of the financial performance. It might include analysed financial balances. So, for example, you have situations where companies are reporting a maintenance capital expenditure as a subset of their total capital expenditure, but that's something that only appears in the management commentary at the moment. It might also include potentially pro forma information, quite common where companies are quite acquisitive. So those are areas that we could potentially go to in this space. And also the use of language around the description of those areas where companies tend to have a freer hand in terms of what they report at the moment and what they describe than they do in the financial statements. I'll take you next to the blue box on forward-looking statements. It is unlikely to be practical given the different legislative and regulatory environments to require forecast information to be provided, but what we could potentially do is, where that information has been provided, you look at how the management commentary can enhance its value. So, for example, the explanations and descriptions and assumptions around the forecast information, and also the comparison of past performance to previous forecasts might also be relevant in that context. So potentially more about getting value that from forecasts that are in the market rather than the obligation to create forecasts. So I'll take you next to the sort of big blue box on the side on business model, risk, strategy and operating environment. So this would potentially cover the both quantitative and qualitative information that is needed to understand the business, and really, if one is applying the linkage concept in the development of reporting content, this would form the foundation of the report. So, for example, a company might identify a particularly important element of its business model. It might then talk about its strategy for developing it in the context of the external challenges, and that might lead it then to report on its progress in implementing that strategy, and also providing information that allows a reader to assess the potential financial implications of that. So that information is important is it in its own right, but it is also important in terms of building up the content of the report. That takes me then to non-financial information, and this is probably quite a broadly used term. It is sometimes taken to mean purely corporate social responsibility reporting. We're intending it here in the broader sense, being the non-financial information that is relative to a reader's understanding of the progress of the business in managing issues and the potential impact of those issues on the future financial statements. So that might include, for example, information around the customer base, progress in acquiring customers, for example, but it might equally include information in terms of managing staff satisfaction or staff retention, if that is a key driver of the success of the business and it's a scarce resource. So collectively, there we potentially have a set of principles that provides an overview for companies to approach the content elements in the management commentary, and then potentially we can look at how we write those principles in more detailed terms into the content elements in order to support more rigorous application of the management commentary, which has been a developing area. So that's just an overview of the areas that we're contemplating in terms of development at the moment. I think I draw sort of two or three conclusions that you might sort of like to consider from that. Firstly, potentially we might be looking at a more detailed practice statement to cover both the principles and content elements that I've outlined here. So that might be one implication of this as an approach. The potential benefit of that is a more rigorous approach to application of the practice statement by preparers. But also potentially a richer set of key performance measures that have a stronger strategic focus, so focus on what's relevant to the long-term financial performance of the entity rather than the short-term or historical performance. And finally, I just draw your attention to the fact that nothing in what I have said currently is contemplating subject matter prescription, so instead of prescribing specific measures for disclosure, the principles-based approach of the practice statement would lead one to sort of look at the linkages between what's important to the business and allow management to build up its story of its progress in managing those issues and the financial implications for the financial performance. So with that, I think I should invite comments.
May I say, I think the slide deck is very good, and I think it contains all the main elements that we should be discussing in this project. What could perhaps be expressed a bit more clearly and concisely is, what is it that management can do with the management commentary? And I think it basically boils down to two things that are very much interconnected. The first one is to provide context to the current performance of the company.
Yeah.
All the things that the financial statements cannot capture adequately. And you mentioned them all in this slide deck. Secondly, to use the management commentary as a platform to explain and describe the long-term strategy for long-term value creation of a company, looking forward and what are the main elements of strategy of a company, which is what a lot of companies already do, perhaps implicitly, or they don't. But I think that this long-term nature, using the the management commentary as a platform for formulating a long-term strategy, I think, is of enormous added value to investors and also for companies themselves, if they force themselves to do so. It's all there implicitly, but I don't think as explicitly as I mention it here. But that is, I think, a good way to make clear in a nutshell, this is what we think a management commentary should be about. I'm not sure if I capture totally correctly, but that's what comes to mind.
I think that's a very fair comment. And I, actually, one of the things as we look at the sort of more detailed drafting aspects is that at the moment the practice statement doesn't really say what it's trying to achieve, and that is a sentiment that we can look potentially to write into the objectives, so that preparers, when they pick the practice statement up, understand in practical terms what they need to deliver.
And this is especially important since there's so much confusion about wider corporate reporting. And I think these are two explanations that a company will understand, because that's usually what they already do without perhaps defining it very clearly. And then more in detail, what I think that what should all be part of any long-term strategy report of a company is to describe how its remuneration policy fits into the long-term strategy, and secondly, how its KPIs reflect the long-term strategy. I think it's both there, but not so explicitly. But that's, I think, what also investors would find extremely important. Nick.
Thank you. It really picks up on the last point that Hans made, that a critical element which you spell out at the bottom of slide 7 is this concept of linkage. It ties from strategy through to KPIs, through to remuneration, right through the document. I have to say, for the word linkage to connectivity, though, just to be pedantic about it. The second point I'd make, I wonder if it's something which we should think about as an addition. A lot of the emphasis here is on competitive advantage, on the operational assets, even the strategic assets. But I think investors would also be looking for something about the capital allocation policy of the business. Yeah. And I don't see that. That's a critical element. And again, long term, but what's the overall process in terms of balance between various sources of funding, dividend payout ratios? Those are the type of things that are often a source of conversation. And the third element is really a question for the team. Here again, we focus very much on content. But I know, certainly, I think in the existing practice statement, indeed the FRC's guidance on the strategic review also talks about the style of the document. Is that an area you intend to go in terms of how it's written, or is that something you want to put to one side?
That's an interesting question, because I think when I look at the conceptual framework and bringing in the features of that, understandability certainly follows. I'd be interested in the board's views as to whether we should go further from understandability into something that is more does offer more structure and guidance around style. It's certainly something that we could offer help on, but would perhaps be straying from the original scope of the practice statement.
I guess the areas that frustrate investors are unduly long statements, repetition. What is the thing that winds them up more than anything else? I read that 5 minutes ago. Why are you telling me? Why are you wasting my time by telling me again? I've taken that in.
So. Don't look at Gary now.
No, sorry. Should I say it again?
Mary?
My comments are very different style or perspective. I thought Nick's very helpful in terms of thinking about, and Hans is thinking about the project. Two things. One is, I think we have to remember that we're not planning to consider changing the status as non-mandatory guidance. So I think we have to avoid kidding ourselves or using words like, driving consistency or requiring formatting or something like that, because we can nudge and illustrate and encourage and give people models. But if we're not, you know, and I don't think we should be, if we're not trying to make it mandatory, and you know, in order to say financial statements prepared in accordance with IFRS standards, then I think we should stay away from those words, because it would be a disconnect between the status of the document and what we're trying to do.
Yeah, so, although the opposite is also not true, which is that because it's non-mandatory, that you have to stick to very high-level principles.
True. We can be very specific.
I'm not sure that we should do it, but we could, in principle, give rather detailed guidance about how you set up a report
right.
like that.
But, true,
yeah.
But I think we have to be careful. So first of all, we don't panic people,
yeah.
And second, we don't end up having to pedal back as we get closer to specifics. So that's one. And a second is it's a real baby steps project. If I were the man or woman on the street and I said, you know, I heard a rumor that the ISB is doing something about wider corporate reporting, and I look on the website that talks about our projects, I wouldn't find that anywhere listed, because we've labeled it as a project about management commentary. You know, and when you look at it and everything, the call for nominees to our advisory group that Yulia mentioned is for a group on management commentary. So I think it comes across as we're rethinking the role of the management commentary statement. And I actually think about it more as we want to support thinking about broader corporate reporting, especially as you illustrated on what was it, slide 5, its intersection, you know, the other financial reporting as a complement to financial statements. And I think we should think about what we call this project and how we talk about it, because I think we're doing version 2.0, and it will be a significant upgrade in terms of management commentary, but there are a lot of things that we could think about if we were doing a let's rethink management commentary, including should we make it mandatory, how does it interact with regulatory requirements, et cetera, that we're not planning, as far as I know, to touch. So maybe, you know, maybe let's make clear that this is our work on broader corporate reporting, so that if you said, where's that project or what are they doing, and you went to the website to look, you'd know which tab to open. So I think this comes across as we're focused on management commentary itself for its own sake. And I think in many ways it's our vehicle for expressing, illustrating, maybe getting very specific about how it could be done better, incorporating these things that complement the historical financial statements. So I don't have a specific, so please let's call it Susan instead of Jane. I think it, you know, I think it's just we have to think about how we're explaining this project.
Anne?
One thing about the project and two things about the slides. I do think it's worth thinking about the style and the way we want to communicate that in what else we write. One, because of materiality being a big part of POD. Also because what we've observed in the recent trends, and you would have seen them in entities, management, commentary or equivalent, is many more graphs, pictures, diagrams. Because of the need to be more concise, these things have all emerged. But sometimes they're just dropped in with no discussion whatsoever, and I doubt how that is. Well, it could be more helpful if there was discussion. So when you mention drawing from the conceptual framework and understandability and things like that, there might be a good link in there to encourage people not to be verbose and repeat, as Nick said, but to do more than just give us a picture and leave people to interpret it as they will. So that was about the project. Two things about slides. In relation to slide four, very useful slide and useful bubble, so we can see the landscape. And then you've got some footnotes, 1, 2, 3, of the types of frameworks you might be referring to under public policy or other stakeholder, and indeed other financial reporting. I wonder if in those footnotes there also needs to be a reference to the reporting that reflects statutory requirements, and I'm thinking specifically of remuneration reporting, because often that comes out of a statutory requirement. So as someone was looking at that slide, I just wonder to the extent people will say, oh, well, there's another thing. Sometimes people have to report something because the stock exchange requires it or their actual corporate law requires it. So I didn't know.
Policy?
I don't know if that fits in with where that fits in 1, 2, 3. I wasn't sure.
Yeah, I think you're referring to, for example, the strategic report in the UK.
I'm thinking about where people have, because a lot of people have guidance, like strategic report could be mandatory or could be guidance, you know, in each jurisdiction. And some part of it comes through law, but sometimes it's a guidance statement. But I'm thinking about sometimes where they mandate via law something specific, a remuneration report.
If I may, sorry to interrupt. I understand. In the case of Brazil, for instance, the social report is required by the regulation. So it's not really the integrated report or not a report from an international organization. So this was developed by the UN a number of years ago. So I think what she's just suggesting is add an additional or together with public policy objectives or either required by law, local law, regulation, something.
Yeah, maybe under one law or guidance.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just an element.
There are hundreds of these things around the world.
Yes, yeah. So adding to footnote one would work. I just think people might look at that and say, what about these type of another family? Yeah. And my third point was about pre-financial. I saw this word pre-financial pop up when we were having other material on management commentary previously. And my question in terms of the slide deck is this a defined term from somewhere, or will people know what you mean by pre-financial, or where's it come from?
Yeah, I have to confess this is a challenging area to name. Non-financial is to some extent assumed to me. Assumed to mean the ESG types of information. So if you read the EC's guidance on the non-financial reporting directive, it is all focused there. So there is a danger with using that phrase, but actually it's the best phrase that describes the type of information we envisage. We did sort of experiment with pre-financial as a means of clarifying that this is financially relevant information rather than information to meet those broader needs.
So I mention it because as you present or people present these slides, if it's a new term, people will go, I wonder what that means. So you might have a footnote, but I completely understand what you mean because I've seen work in this area, research work, where people talk about non-financial and so much of non-financial is actually financial. By non-financial, they mean, it's outside the financial statements, but it still builds on the information that's used in it is financial.
So I think we need to get clarity about these labels.
Yep.
I'm still not happy with that label. Also, with regards to Mary's comments about what are we going to call this? Management commentary, practice statement. Yeah. That's the technical description, but where does it sit on better communication, etc.? Okay. I understand why you use here the term for the overlap between the two circles, other financial reporting. That's the first term that we used, how we explained the legitimacy of us going here in the management commentary practice statement, and it's derived from some introductory words in the
preface.
But wouldn't it be better explanatory if we say this is broader financial information, including what you now call pre-financial information, but all the information that sooner or later will have a financial impact on the company, even if it's not there right now?
It would be a lot easier to communicate, to be honest, if we were happy to use that phrase.
It also sits better with the notion of wider corporate reporting, and it it does explain, yes, we look a bit wider than the numbers from the financial statements, but it's still financially relevant information. So I think that either wider or, but probably broader financial information is, financial reporting is the best nomer for it.
Broader financial reporting, isn't it? Because some of the pieces of information themselves will be non-financial.
Yes.
Non-financial now, but with an impact on the long-term value of a company.
Yes.
Because I think the management commentary practice statement talks about financial reporting as opposed to financial information. That was what I was looking at before.
So I think broader financial reporting is a useful phrase.
And it worked very well in the advisory council.
Can I just clarify? So that's feedback about using the phrase broader financial reporting. Are we talking about sort of how we communicate within stuff by either side, within slide decks and maybe on the website, as opposed to the title of the project? Because the project is about updating management commentary, and there is an argument for keeping the title of the project as specific as possible while explaining what it means for the broader.
I think that's it's the vehicle for communicating our guidance, questions, examples. I'm not sure if it's the driver, but I was doing a presentation here to a group that included a couple of professors, and they said, I didn't realize you'd done something, and I just looked at your website today. And I said, and they said, oh, I didn't realize when it said management commentary that that's what you meant.
So perhaps we can look and clarify on our website the sort of interaction, how this project fits into the area of broader.
Well, I'm making it up on the spot. So, but what I am convinced about is that the nomer for the slides, etc., and this overlap between the two circles, that should be broader financial reporting, and that we should. So it's a good generic term to refer to this project rather than management commentary practice statement, which is a mouthful and doesn't mean anything.
But actually, as a title for the practice statement, management commentary connects well with the language that is currently used by regulators. So there's a number of countries where they would call that the management commentary, equally with other countries that call it MD&A. So it is a challenge, the variety, but management commentary is helpful in some.
Well, let's keep it that way. I mean, let's not change words all the time. And that's what we're going to call it. So Sue?
Just on that, I think we can have a project name that's different from what we call the output. We could have a project on broader financial reporting, the output of which is an update of the management commentary practice statement, which is like the footnote.
Yeah, that would work well.
The question I had for you was how far the linkage concept goes. So when we first started working on this, one of the things that we were trying to address was the concern raised by some investors and others about this, you know, huge proliferation of all of these different aspects of wider corporate reporting that were all sort of similar but slightly different focuses, you know, so there's a lack of comparability and confusion in the market. So, if you look at the graph you've got on slide 4, which I like, you can see our work is sort of stuck in the middle between our financial statements and all of this other stuff.
Yeah.
So one aspect of linkage is making sure that, and I agree, by the way, with the focus of what the content generally should be. One of the aspects of linkage is making sure that when you pick up the annual report, that you can understand the linkage between what's being talked about in the management commentary and what's in the financial statements. So that's one aspect of linkage. But another thing that investors are trying to deal with is the fact that there's all of these other reports that the company might be producing separate to the annual report that's got a slightly different cut and perspective to the management commentary and the financial statements. Are we going to say anything to at least encourage, I don't know, some sort of ability for consistency or to try and do anything to reduce the confusion of that aspect, or is that a step beyond what we've been talking about?
So I think there's two aspects to that. Firstly, in terms of where the information sits. In most legal environments, the annual report is the bounded document. Therefore, you don't want to see material information outside the annual report. So I don't envisage that we'd think about allowing linkage of material disclosures to, for example, a sustainability report. Nevertheless, you might, within the management commentary, highlight there's more immaterial information here because it might be relevant to another stakeholder who was reading the document. So in terms of scope, that's where I would think we would go. In terms then of management taking account of the of disclosures it's made elsewhere, clearly if it's disclosing something in a particular form, and this particularly happens with market disclosures, but also with those sort of sustainability disclosures, you could envisage it within the principles asking management to consider when it's describing, choosing the information to go in the management commentary, to consider the relevance of information that it's provided externally. And if for some reason it thinks that information is not relevant to the circumstance, then you might think about whether management needs to reconcile it anyway.
I must admit that when I read that term linkage all the time, it makes me a bit nervous. First of all, it seems to me rather more than a method, more a method rather than a principle or basic concept. And it basically tells you everything has to fit together well. Is that something that a management of a company will understand?
I think that's a difficult one because I think in terms of what we're asking management to do, the application of this as a concept is a little bit of a paradigm shift. So, reports typically get written in chunks. So, you'll have the information on the employees in one chunk, the information on the customers in another chunk, etc. And the application of this idea of linkage to then going back all the way to the long-term strategy of the business is something that will be difficult for preparers in practice, but is the only way to get at that relevant information as we see it so far.
Okay, yeah. But you could also say, well, what? Make it more concrete, which is that if you, when you describe your long-term strategy for value creation, make sure that your remuneration report fits in well.
Mm. Yes.
And describes how the two interconnect.
Yes. So I could envisage we could have linkage as a principle, but then when we're writing in the practice statement about the content elements, we would also be highlighting there the relevant aspects of linkage to consider, so that, which would pick up exactly your point.
Make it so as practical as possible. Yeah. I think for most managers, this is too theoretical. François?
Well, I would like to rebound on a comment that Mary made and that made me think. This is a question I had not asked myself. And the issue was about what is non-material guidance. And so we have two practice statements at present. When I look at the management commentary practice statement, to me it's non-mandatory because you don't need to apply that in order to be compliant with IFRS. Whereas the materiality practice statement is more in the form of some form of implementation, educational guidance on how to best apply IFRS. So even though we have the same name for them, they have two different and very distinct roles. So having in mind that the management commentary practice statement is a non-mandatory guidance in the sense of not necessary to comply with IFRS, I was still regarding it as being something available, for example, for its jurisdictions that would want to have a ready-to-use regulation at hand or inspire a regulation to be developed therefrom. So to me, that meant that, yes, you could have a mandatory vocabulary in there. And that you should, you know, if that would be, this, in fact, a form of a standard in terms of reference that could be used. And if it's used as regulation, you would not expect that it is written other than with mandatory vocabulary. But I had not thought of that issue before you raised it.
Well, we all have to be careful with that, but because I think if we do a good job, it could work as a source of inspiration for the European Union, who is now trying to develop more guidance there, but I don't think they will adopt it. Not so very likely, and we don't want to create resistance from the start.
I don't think we want to panic, for example.
I go out of my way, whenever I explain this, I go out of my way to make clear it's abundantly clear, it's non-mandatory. Because otherwise people get very, very nervous.
Well, it's also an update of an existing document, and the status of that document is not questioned.
No. No. That's good. Any other comments? No? Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Maybe do we need to summarize something?
Well, yeah, if you can.
So I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we've sort of brought agreement with where we are heading in our approach, obviously with particular emphasis on particular points, such as long-term value creation, linkage, the whole sort of objective, if you will, of management commentary to provide context to the current performance. I think we've heard a few words of caution around the language that we use, so we have some particular notes on that. And I think my other takeaway is about sort of messaging and think about how we better communicate the relation of this project to broader financial reporting. So I think these are my main points. Matt, do you have anything?
I think that's a very good summary.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.